The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And I'm Ez.
And today we are talking about the most fraudulent election in American history. Ez. What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to stop the count or are we supposed to keep the count? I can't keep track. You know, everyone on Twitter, stop the count. Keep on count. I mean, which is right. It?
Which is it? I honestly... I don't even know which ones are legal, which ones are fraudulent.
I have no idea.
It's crazy, man. It is crazy out there. It's 2020, buddy.
It is crazy. Wow, election night was over a week ago, but it feels like it was literally yesterday. But
it's still going on. I don't know what you're talking about here. It's still happening. You know, we're actually still counting. I'm not sure if we're counting the right ones or not, but we're counting.
Look, here's how you tell, okay? According to our president, I'm on Twitter, right, looking at his Twitter, which is outrageous. You know, Twitter has literally flagged everything he said. Everything he says, they say this is not true.
How dare they?
Isn't it ridiculous to think that we live in a world in which everything our president says is false?
Dude, no. Hold on.
Or is it that Twitter is saying?
Who's really running things here? You know, this is, we've been, look, I mean, I don't want to, there are certain terms I don't want to say, but I mean, there's something going on. I don't know what it is, but there's something going on. All right.
I don't know, man. Look, all I know is literally, I'm looking at his Twitter. There's a claim about this. There's a claim about this. I mean, straight down the board.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Have they ever done that to another president?
No, because they've never. I don't think they've ever done it to anybody.
Right, and then well, hey, now, does that not say something? Right.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
I don't know.
Why are we targeting this man?
All right. Well, I think it's because nobody else is saying. This is the other thing that's difficult right now is he says. He says Fox News has betrayed us, right? Because Fox News has kind of turned their back on him, and then he continues to retweet stuff, clips of Fox News. So how am I supposed to? What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to believe Fox News, or am I not supposed to believe it?
I don't know. I was definitely told not to believe CNN. That's for sure. I was told that.
I think CNN's up for sale.
Trying to figure out what the note. I don't know. I think I'm off the mailing list for both sides. They're not giving me the talking points anymore.
Did you mail in your ballot or did you go?
No, I went. I walked in there and I cast my ballot.
No, you know. Okay.
I mailed my ballot. Can I tell you something? This is a God's honest true story. I ran into and this is your dad happened to be there. This was not this year.
You saw him there?
Not this year. It was 4 years ago. Oh, 4 years ago, I saw him.
The 2016 election.
Yeah. I was getting my, I was leading into that. I always have to get, as a teacher, you have to get like background checked. You got to do FBI background check, the whole thing. And so I was in there with a lady, and she was talking about the election and basically said, like, I want my voice to be heard. You know, I'm Amen. Worried that our voices aren't going to be heard. Right. And then it was 4 years ago. Your dad made a joke to me, you know, just to sort of about like, I want my voice to be heard. I was walking around and that, oh gosh, numerous people. I'd never seen anything like it. We're walking over to the ballot machines. And as they put in their thing, I really take my time. I soak up the moment. It's very small. There's very few people that vote where I vote. It's out in the country, way out in the country.
Middle of nowhere. It's a tiny little church.
Yeah. I could sit there for an hour and I would see five people walk in. But the people that I did see come in that day, because it was a little bit busy, every single one of them went over to the machine and they were like, are we sure that count? I mean, they were like triple checking that vote was counted. You know what I mean? They were so, and I'm only telling a story from my, just where well, I was at. I was so shocked. I was so funny. And I said, after the election, I said to my dad and I said to other people, I said, let me tell you, they heard you. All right. Those votes counted. All right. They counted them and your voice was heard. All right. Your voice was heard.
Well, I don't know, because in 2012, when I moved from Oregon to Ohio, then the rule was you didn't have to have an Ohio driver's license. And I went to that same voting place in 2012 and they made me fill out a paper ballot. So I definitely don't think that counted. I don't think my vote counted that year.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, hey.
And the crazy thing was I registered in Columbus because I was going to Columbus State College at the time.
Yeah.
And I mean, think about that. I mean, you know, at Columbus State, they had all these Obama stickers, right? Because it's 2012. And I go up and I jokingly said, I was like, well, hey, I'll register. Okay, can I get a Romney sticker? And they all just looked at me like, yeah, I mean, come on, man. Come Let's on be now. Fair. I mean, come I didn't vote now. For Romney, but
yeah.
I'm not super. I remember Romney's all right. I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
He's kind of a wild card out there in the Senate. I mean,
yeah, right know. Now. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I don't know. I don't. Here's what I think. Just want to say something real quick. Whether it's Romney, Obama, John McCain, Bush, Trump, Biden, whoever it is.
Hillary.
All those people I just mentioned are Americans.
Amen.
Right? They're all Americans. And they are elected to serve our country and do the best job that they can to serve the people. That's what they're elected to do. All right?
Are they legally elected?
Wow.
A tweet. What are they trying to hide? They know, and so does everybody else, expose the crime. That's a tweet from the President of the United States.
Now, hold on a second. Aren't we
and it was marked by Twitter that says, this claim about election fraud is disputed.
Wow. Here's the thing. Look, Matt, if we can't go to Fox, CNN, MSNBC for our news, then we need to go to the source, right? And that is Trump. Okay? He's in on this. All right? He said, come to me. He said, you can't believe any of these other people. Like, look, you can only get the truth from me. He's the only one telling us the truth, Matt.
Is he, though?
Oh, man.
Is he?
No, it's just kind of crazy. I mean, we're not. There's a bunch of intelligent people in this country. It's crazy. People, it's wild. To me, this is going to go down as just, I don't know, the craziness of 2020. It's wild. It's not this is not something we didn't see coming. It's been happening for 4 years. We knew this was going to be a thing. You know, I mean, Donald Trump said the other day, I was watching him talk and I forget where it was at, but he said it in previous interviews and he said it in a very sincere way, which is like, I don't do well with losing. I don't like to lose. I don't like to admit loss. I don't like to. That's his thing in his book, right? What's the book? Something about a deal. The art of making
whatever. Art of the deal.
Art of the deal.
Art of the deal. Yeah.
Never admit defeat. Never admit that you lost. Never, like, ever. Otherwise, you'll lose that negotiating kind of edge. It's like basically once he walks away from the table, he's never coming back. He will never return back and make a count. It's sort of like, no, you will come to him. And as long as you always stick through and hold to that, I mean, a part of that was one of the elements to it. And I was like, wow. I mean, and so it's something, it's just been in, it's been a part of who he is. He's this, right, you know, businessman. He's a businessman, you know, he's not a politician. Yeah. So it's just interesting. It's interesting that I will say this, that we elected somebody. He ran, you know, I mean, it was his choice to run for president.
Right.
He wanted to run. So that means you threw your hat into politics. You know what I mean? You decided you wanted to be in politics. And then people elected him wanting him to be a politician because he went into politics. But he's not. He's a businessman. And right, he tried to be a businessman who's in politics. And it just, you know, clearly it's not what we're used to, and it's different. And it's why it's caused so many, you know.
Right.
It's great.
Yeah,
it's,
so
you know.
It is. It is. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, I'll go ahead and say I'm obviously not a Trump supporter. But I don't say. Wow. Yeah, I know, right? you know, though, as somebody who, you know, is a historian, I do always try to look back and reflect and say, you know, his legacy as president, and, you know, did he do anything that I actually thought was good? You know, where can I give him credit? What should not be held against him? Things like that, because I do always try to find, you know, what the best in scenario, even presidents who I feel like, had I lived during their time, I probably wouldn't have liked. Is there things that person did that I would have liked, you know? And I was having a conversation with my mom, and even though I really wanted to be like, I told you so, I decided not to be, because my mom is a huge Trump supporter. And so I was trying to be nice, even though she's not nice towards Joe Biden right now. You know, she thinks that it's all just some secret ploy so that they can get Kamala Harris in there. And my dad thinks the same thing too. They think it's all just some, literally both of them, who obviously they don't talk to each other, have said to me, well, I think, okay, that like a year in, something's going to happen to Biden. And it was all just a big deal to get Kamala Harris. Yeah. And I mean, like, what are you? I was like, I tried to explain to them. I was like, that would, like, the idea behind that is so bad, because why would you set her up for that? Because then she would have a shorter term. I was like, you have Joe Biden be president for 4 years, then have her run for another 8, and you could potentially have 12 years.
Uh-huh.
I was like, why would you set her up and then only getting 8? That would be dumb. So, but you know, that's what they think. So, whatever. So, anyway, my mom and I was trying to say nice things about Trump. And so I had to go back and reflect. I was like, is there anything that he actually did that I feel like I could be like, you know, even with, in an effort of trying to be fair, could I be like, I could not get behind this, but okay, give him credit for.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it's fair to say that he never got a healthcare plan passed. I'd say that if you really want to put the blame on somebody there, I'd have to say you really have to put it on like Paul Ryan and that Republican Congress, who literally had 8 years, once Obamacare got pushed through, to come up with a plan. Because then they had, when Trump came in, they had a Republican Congress and a Republican Supreme Court, and the plan they came up with was terrible, and it went nowhere. Right. So I don't know that I can put that on Trump. He did get, man, some Supreme Court justices in. That's always a legacy thing. It's like, I may not agree with them or whatever, but I mean, if you're on the other side, you know, you would be saying, oh, these are the things he did that were, that was good. And, you know, it's like some of these things, I feel like if I even say them, people are going to criticize me, but, you know, whatever.
Whatever. Yeah.
I mean, the stock market, I mean, whether that helped some people or not other people. I mean, if you can choose to be in on the stock market or not choose to be in on the stock market, but the stock market has done very well, under him. So you definitely, you know, give him credit there. We definitely, whether, I don't know if he's doing stuff or not, it's kind of hard to keep track, but man, we haven't heard about ISIS or Al Qaeda in about his 4 years. So you gotta give him some credit there. I like that he tried to work with North Korea. I mean, Obama tried to do the same thing and all the Republicans blasted him. But I mean, I'm fine with being diplomatic towards North Korea. That's probably the best way to go about it, to try and get something going. So, I mean, other than that, you know, I don't know. I'm sure there's other things I'd really have to go back and look. Yeah, I think that's kind of where I'm at in an effort to be nice.
Can I say, you know, here's something that gives me a lot of hope for our nation. You have a lot of independents. You have a lot of moderates who actually just are good common sense people.
Yeah.
And they don't get the talking points of the Democrats and the Republicans. And, oh, this is what we're supposed to be saying now. Because it happens on both sides. Because you brought up a really good point. You know, like, if Obama negotiates and is diplomatic with North Korea, he's weak. He's weak. It's weak sauce. That's weak sauce. How dare? I mean, right. You know, you got to be strong. Trump goes in there and does it. Man, good move. It's politics, people. It's politics. I don't know what people, you know. So, and again, let me take. So is it just a game, right? Is it just a game that we're playing? Let me remind people, anyone who listens, a couple people listening to our podcast. I was talking to my dad about this. I think I said it before, you know, the Republicans and the Democrats, who are the two major parties in this country, they have to work for my vote. I don't just buy whatever sauce they're selling.
Yeah, let's go.
You know what I'm saying? So if you want to talk about something, because I had someone, I'll never forget this, kind of criticize me for being like, you know, pick a side.
No, you don't have to do any of that.
No, you don't understand. The most, I think one of the most patriotic American things you can do is say, we the people, you're going to work for me. And you're going to show me that I'm not just going to just blindly follow either one of you to whatever end, you know, like you got to keep them accountable. You got to keep them. That's what an election is, what votes are all for. It's the whole thing, man. Like it's politics for a reason. So you've got this game, right? Where like Trump wanted to build his base. Oh, Biden's got his base. They don't got to work. Your base is your base, man. You don't got to worry about those people. You're working towards to campaign to get, you know, flip a state, to turn, you know, the swing state, your vote matter, that kind of stuff, you know. So it's all, I've always loved that I live in Ohio because Ohio has been, you know, a state that's been competitive. It's real close, or, you know, it can go either way. Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, those states, look at what's happening there. You know, it's Arizona.
Yeah, look at what's happening there. That's what I'm, what is happening?
Somebody get in there and count those votes. But no, I just want to say, you know, one more thing. Like, and I guess if you were looking for something in Trump's defense, I get people like the whole fanning of the flame of like, you know, all of the different issues around, you know, him not speaking out about certain things or taking a stance or fanning the flames of what might be considered. Well, what is? What is racism and what is hate and things like that. People get on him, you know, for that. But I want to remind folks, I guess, of something, and this is not a defense of Trump at all, not even close. But we live in like a capitalist society, economy, you know, and where it's all about competition and who can win. It's all about winner take all, winner win out, you know what I mean? Yeah. So like if Trump saw that, like, that's the problem, is that to win, what he saw the way to win and what his base was giving him was fan this flame and you will win. We'll push you forward. And that sucks. That is what sucks. That has probably been the worst part about the whole thing, is that we fan flames of some things that are dark, that are not good about our society that we still have to work on and grow through. And that's a problem. But like he saw, I mean, you know, you want to win, and this is a guy who's like all about making like business deals and winning at all cost, and doesn't really matter. Okay, that's what my base. It's almost like he was feeling the pulse of his base and said, and that's bad. That's dangerous. That's not. That sucks. If that's the case. Now, I don't really actually think. Unfortunately, I think it's a misguided, pulse read of his air quote base, because I live in Ohio where there are tons of people who I like just because. You're on one side or the other. This whole blanket sort of like, if you're on this side, that means, you know, you hate these people and you like these people and you what? I think it's just foolishness. I think people are in, they're voting on people for various reasons, and they're, you know, some people aren't as informed as other people and whatever. And that you might say, well, it's your responsibility to get informed, et cetera, all that good stuff. I mean, but I just think we need to have a little bit more grace and understanding and look at what is a political arena where there is just gaming. I mean, look at what Lindsey Graham. I mean, like what they say 4 years ago has changed, and what they say now will change in 4 years, and they don't care at all because it's all about now and what matters, and it's about winning re-election and staying in power, man. That's all it is. So if we're not smart enough to pick up on that, then come on, you know.
Yeah,
like
I mean, look no different than the primaries on either side, right? I mean, during the primaries, they are sitting there. Trump said that nobody lies like Ted Cruz, right? And now, he's retweeting stuff. He called Ted Cruz's wife ugly, right?
And then you
have Bernie Sanders and I mean, Bernie Sanders and Biden and all those other Democrats, and they're like, if this guy gets elected, it'll be a danger to our country. Then as soon as they get elected, it's like, we have to unite. No, you're right. It 100% is.
It's such a,
it is.
You know. So your words don't, I mean, that's the thing, is that where people got to wake up a little bit. Like what they're doing, all of that is they're jockeying and positioning themselves and who can wordsmith the best and who can whatever, you know? So, and that's why I started this whole thing with, like, at the end of the day, they're all Americans. They're trying to get our vote. They want us to trust and believe them and put them up there in that position and do what's best for us. And I think when they get there, there's a lot of other factors. There's the Senate. You've got three branches of government working together. You've got generals. You've got intelligence communities. You've got all sorts of things, man. It is not one person up there running the show. And sometimes we find out that our president is very limited in his power. Very limited.
Well, hey, look, let me tell you something. I posted something on Twitter. I posted on Facebook, and I've gotten great response from lots of people who I never thought would even give me a response. So let me tell you.
Yeah.
In 2024... I will be over the age of 35.
Let's go.
Okay. And I've been tossing this around. Okay. Yeah. I might just run for president. Okay.
Okay.
And it's going to be simply on the platform of ending daylight savings time, ending the Electoral College, and putting term limits on Congress and the Supreme Court. Okay. Wow. And people are like, oh, are you going to run as a Republican or a Democrat? I'm not running as either.
Right,
because I don't in the power of these political parties. I believe in the only party that matters, the party of the people.
Let's go.
Because the last time I checked in the Constitution, it doesn't start with we the Republicans or we the Democrats. It starts with we the people.
Let's go.
You know, that's where I'm at. So I might just do it, and I might just run on the platform of saying I also think we should cut Congress's salary. And we should give it to people who matter, like the troops.
Let me just tell you something.
And watch watch Congress people be like, oh, that's a bad idea. Oh, I guess the troops don't matter.
Really?
You know why? Because the only thing those politicians care about is as you said, power and keeping power.
Yeah, keeping power. Buddy, let me tell you right now, to fund a campaign like that, you would literally need everyone in this nation to give you a dollar, if not more. Because there is no way one political party, you said you wouldn't be a Republican or a Democrat. Heck no, you wouldn't. They would.
Ross Perot almost did it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's like, you got to have a lot of money. You got to have a lot of like,
no, you don't.
I know you're just,
wouldn't need money. You can do it for free. It's called Twitter. It's called Facebook, baby.
Twitter,
YouTube.
Trump has showed us you can do it. Yeah.
You don't need it. You don't need it anymore. Social media. If people like you, if enough people, I mean, look, The Rock has like 100 million followers.
Oh yeah,
you don't need it, and you don't need money anymore
to
do
president.
It.
Yeah,
you look.
Yeah,
think about all of the media coverage that TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, that social media has provided for people running for president. But 20 years ago, you would have killed for that type of coverage.
Yeah,
you do not need a bunch of money anymore to run for president. You just don't.
Yeah,
You can get all of that coverage free. There are literally YouTube channels with hundreds of thousands of subscribers that are dedicated to like Democrat and Republican parties and people just talking about them. There are people that make YouTube channels. There's some I was following during this election as they're tracking down. I found one that's a Democratic thing and one's a Republican thing. They have over 100,000 subs. And all they're talking about is Biden's path to victory and Trump's path to victory. Mm-hmm. You do not need that money anymore.
Yeah, it could happen.
So I'm just saying, I'm putting the politicians on notice. I got you. Okay.
You put them on notice. All right. Yep.
If they don't clean it up, I might just run. And if I run, it'll be over for them. Okay. Because I speak for the people.
Let's go. Matt's only drilling in one place, and it's in D.C. All right.
Dang straight,
it's,
man.
And it's we're not drain the swamp.
We're not draining the swamp. We're bulldozing the damn thing. All right. Okay. Drilling isn't enough. All right.
That's going to run on the platform of we're moving the Capitol.
It's going to be on the platform of what the people actually want. People are tired of daylight saving time. All right. They're tired of the politicians. Get them out. Okay. Right. They want things for them.
What have we done with all the daylight that we've saved? Where is it?
Not a damn thing, man, because when I get home from work, it's freaking dark outside. Okay.
Like, is there like a bank they're gonna come out and say, all right, well, we saved all this daylight here. Now here's what we're gonna do. People are probably thinking I'm a nut job. I'm totally just kidding.
I'm with you.
Where did the daylight
Some
go?
Some places don't even recognize it. I think in parts of Indiana they don't even recognize it. And Indiana is one of those states where the time zone is cut between Eastern and Central time. And so then what do you do? It's like, well, hold on a second. If I drive from this town to this town, I lose an hour or I gain an hour, right? Because you go back in time. Right. You go back in time because I crossed over the time zone border. But this town that I'm driving in doesn't recognize daylight savings time. So it's like, I'm here. I'm in. It's 3 o'clock. It's 2 o'clock. It's 3 o'clock. It's 2 o'clock. How do you do it?
Think about the idea that you could save more daylight in when you fall back or spring forward, whichever one it is, right? You gain that hour or whatever. Think about when it comes time to shift back. If you didn't shift back and you just moved to a place where they didn't shift, you know, seriously. Or are they already there? I don't know. Like, I'd have to look into it. It's kind of crazy to think about. But
nobody likes it. We don't need it anymore. It's outdated. It's time to move on. Okay, my platform. It's time to move on from daylight saving time. It's time to move on from the Republican and Democratic Party and do the thing. You know, this is a capitalist society, okay? Yeah. People like the things that benefit them the most. If it doesn't benefit them, they don't care. It's why Uber came in and killed the cab industry within the span of like 6 months, because people said, you know what? That's way better for me. The consumer won. It's why Netflix and Disney Plus and Amazon Prime and all of these things are killing the cable industry, because it's better for the consumer. We live in a society that is best for the consumer. Mm-hmm. You know, 50 years ago, people said, you know what? Wow, I don't even have to get food. I don't even have to go into a restaurant. I can just drive through. I mean, for us, we think, hey, that's normal. But 50, 60 years ago, that was new.
Right. That's right. Yeah,
that was new.
Right.
When everybody had flip phones, and then the iPhone came along and said, wow, I can access the internet on there. And boom, now that's the new thing. And then everybody has to make it. And then people said, oh, I want this. I want this. I want this. I want this. And so, okay, they shift. They change. They adapt. Mm-hmm. And they make it better for the consumer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's a society we live in, and that's what people want in politics.
That's what I'm saying. You could do, absolutely tie that to politics, and that like that's what we need. I mean, more look, of
when too, when I'm president, I will be on Twitter actively, and it's just going to be a poll: do you want this? Yes or no?
Wow.
Election day be a federal holiday that everybody gets off work so they can go to the polls and vote? I guarantee it would be overwhelmingly yes.
Could you imagine if Trump or any president – I actually started doing that. Like, hey,
well,
guys,
get ready, because in 4 years there will be one, okay? And his name is Matthew Brady, all right? So get ready for it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You do have a very strong presidential name, you know, like
it's true.
There. You don't, You don't have the power of Jay, but you.
I do not have the power of Jay. This is some, as and I were talking about this, and it's something that I noticed during the last election as I went back and started doing some research. And would you believe it or not, the letter J, let me pull up some data on this. This is crazy. Is this, does this, is this proof that it's actually some sort of secret society?
At this point, you like anyone who did tune in and said, oh, are these serious or they're not serious?
We just I am society, serious about running for president if enough people if enough people wanted me to be, okay? But I don't know, this is just it's something interesting. I'm not saying it's actually some sort of secret society, but I mean, you know, you never know, okay? By far the most presidential letter is the letter J. This is crazy actually. Almost like 2/3 of the presidents, one of their names starts with the letter J. Okay, so there's been, so Biden is the 46th president, but he's the 45th person to be president because Grover Cleveland was president twice, but out not in succession. So he's like the, I forget what it is. I think he's like, it's like 22nd and then 24th president or something like that.
Gotcha.
Okay, so you have John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, James Monroe, John Quincy Adams, Andrew Jackson, okay? I'm sure somebody's keeping track of the math here. John Tyler, James Polk. Then you go down to James Buchanan, Andrew Johnson. Then it's a bit. Okay, James Garfield. Then you go a little bit again, and you get to – that's a little while, okay? It's all right. It's like 10 presidents before you get to the next J. Okay. But still, all right.
Something went on.
You get to John Kennedy, Lyndon B. Johnson, Jimmy Carter, William Jefferson Clinton, Donald John Trump, Joe Biden. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Wait. Did you just call the next president?
He is. Yeah, he is. Okay. We've called it here on the Matt Nez show after all the networks have called it, but the Electoral College hasn't called it yet. So who knows? But do you think that's interesting, or do you just think it's coincidence?
Coincidence. You know, no,
really,
I mean, that
probably more than half of our presidents have the letter J. I wonder if it's just something that.
I think it's just tied to Christian, like sort of Christian names, maybe like, you know, James and John. And those being possibly middle names and stuff too.
Yeah.
You know, and just us be, you know, I don't know, maybe, you know, like those just being tied back to biblical names. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, you know.
I just think it's
a lot more people named James and John and, you know, Matthew and Paul and Peter.
Well, we don't have a Matthew, Paul, or Peter president.
Well, hey, we got a Matthew coming soon. Coming soon.
We all do. Right? I do not have the power of J, but I do have the power of W.
W. Yes,
which
you do.
W is also pretty powerful. Woodrow Wilson, Bill Clinton,
right.
William Jefferson Clinton. Well, that's about it. So, but I do have it. So it is slightly. It is Barack B. Maybe, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
As it's like, well, I don't know. Yeah, Brady. Benjamin Harrison. That starts with a B. Okay, I got a little bit.
Okay.
But you know what I have more than anything, is I have the power of being from the state of Ohio, which is the most powerful. It might, well, next to maybe the power of Jay, might be the most powerful thing you can have in terms of running for president is being from Ohio.
Yeah, I mean, what's up with that, right? I mean, is there, what's going on here in the water that we drink, you know?
It's just where it's at, man. We just know how to run the table on winning the White House. Wow. I mean, now, have the Ohio presidents been very good? No, like two of them died in office, and, you know, but we do have that, so.
Hey, you know what? We also have great football teams. We like to win in Ohio, all right? We have great football. We, you know, so it makes, it's just, you know,
yeah,
makes sense.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, that's some of our election news. Let's move on here real quick. I just have another topic on here real quick. It is still kind of political related, but about a couple weeks ago, one of my favorite people in politics, and now we're about to lose literally half our listenership here. AOC, Oh, and she's a little too far left for me. I'm a little more moderate, but and sometimes she seems kind of angry, but I do like her. And she went on Twitch, and I thought this was one of the coolest things that politicians are doing, because it's like, wow, you're speaking directly to these people, and you're like doing it in a way that's kind of cool. Yeah. And you know, I thought it was kind of cool. I was literally laughing the entire time.
I was laughing. I couldn't believe it. It was actually, and also trying to keep up with that chat was hilarious. I had never seen a Twitch chat get that political that quick and see all these different people who were just, but most of it though was like, this was so crazy. You saw somebody trying to like spam in there and spam something political. But for the most part, I mean, it was people were like, who is this? You know, and you had a connection to the youth who were like, why are our favorite Twitch streamers our favorite who have
right? Oh, it was the big ones. It was like Pokemon, like she's enormous on Twitch. Yeah. And AOC was on there. And I was so surprised that they were playing the game Among Us, right? Which is actually that game has its own kind of funny story in that game was like, it's been around for a while. It almost died. Like the guy was literally about to release a sequel. And then I think thanks to TikTok and some people playing it on Twitch, it blew up. And the whole thing is, it's a game that's basically like Clue, but you play on your phone or your computer or whatever, but you can play it on your phone. And there's like five people and you're on this spaceship and you have to go complete tasks. And what happens is one person in the group is basically called like the imposter, and you have to kill people and like sabotage things. But you don't know who it is, obviously, unless you're the imposter. But the deal is that you can kill somebody, and then you can like move to a different room and somebody can come in and they can be like, well, I just found a dead body over here. Well, hold on. Was this person with this person? Was this person like what all happened? And the whole idea is you're trying to find the killer. And if you're the killer, you're supposed to try and not to be found. And so I just thought it was funny because I literally don't understand how Fox News and all these right, super right wing things didn't eat up on this and be like, wow, how is AOC so good at a game that involves just lying? I mean, they just totally did. Where was that joke? How did they totally whiff on that joke? It's because they don't know what it is, because they have no connection to that type of thing. I was like, you guys are literally missing like just the easiest ammo you could possibly have here.
Hire Matt. You know.
Seriously, man, come on. I was so disappointed because I was just so ready for those jokes to come in, but they didn't happen because they don't even know what it is. But the idea of, you know, some of these politicians and stuff like that. And I think it's kind of cool. I think it's cool. I thought it was hilarious that she got chose to be the imposter first, because she's not clearly not a gamer. Right. You know, and we view her where she's like so serious and like so, you know, sometimes aggressive. She's very high energy. And here she is just like laughing, having fun. So, I mean, I think it was good. I think it's cool. I mean, if Donald Trump wanted to play, I would pay money to watch Trump play Among Us on Twitch. It would be hilarious. It'd be funny. It would be like the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it would be fun.
I would pay money to watch him play that. Yeah. It would be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would it not be like, you know, if there's one thing I know a lot about, like, you know, like
Yeah, you know, yeah, absolutely. There were funny moments too on AOC's, and I can call her that, by the way, because she told us that we could call her that.
We could. She said that.
She said Mike Pence.
She said Mike Pence. Call. Mike Pence isn't allowed to call her that.
He's not allowed to call her that.
That was a shot fired.
She said, "You guys can call me that, but he can't." And I was like, "Wow, okay, what's going on here?" So then I had to go, you know, look that up. But yeah, it was just kind of interesting. It was funny, you know, just to see that and. You know, here's the thing. Whether it's honestly, I don't think it would be a bad thing for either party to go, you know, get the youth fired up, show a different side. I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, it might make us a little bit more authentic. Get in there, you know, whatever. I mean, it's not. There's such a facade. There's such a presentation, a public image, and all that kind of stuff, and that they have to keep up with. So it was kind of refreshing because, yeah, she's voting on, do we believe this guy? Do we not? How do I lie and get my way out of this? Great. It's a part of a game. You know,
we need is we need a group of five politicians, high profile politicians, to play Among Us together.
Wow.
Okay. Republicans and Democrats, and then get one person there in the middle. Let's get AOC, because she already knows what she's doing. And then we can pick some other Democrat, maybe Bernie. Well, Bernie's technically an independent, I think, but you know, he's kind of. We need somebody that's like in the middle. So maybe like a John Kasich or a Mitt Romney. Okay, there's your middle person. Okay. So let's get like AOC and then somebody else from the Democratic side that people, you know, maybe like Well, I mean, Biden's president. Hey, let's get Kamala Harris would be great on
yeah,
this.
Yeah,
let's get her. Let's get her. She'd be drinking margaritas and playing and have a good time. Then let's get two Republicans. Maybe we could get Trump and maybe like Mitch McConnell. Right. Oh, you know, I think that,
oh, wait. Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Oh, like, my God.
I mean, just, you know, because they have like such, you know, distinctive personalities.
Marco, you know, like, Rubio. Rubio would be cool to see on there.
Rubio. Yeah, he'd be good. Yeah, well, I think Mitch McConnell would be hilarious.
Mitch McConnell and Rubio.
Well, just because he has such a distinctive voice. Like, well, I was in the room with Bernie, and I thought he was going to kill me. You know, it's like that's how he talks. Like, you know, it would be hilarious, and Americans would be like, "This is great." I think we would collectively, that would be right.
If you want to see your poly, like, look, let's just not,
how many views would that get?
Millions or billions. I don't know.
Millions of billions. And we could set it up. It would be a charity event. We could donate all the money to like St. Jude's or, you know, something like that. I think people would love it. And it would be a bipartisan thing.
Yes.
Twitch, let's make it happen. Okay. Because
the thing is, it is nice. I'll tell you this. You know, what's nice about when I watch politicians interact and interact in different settings that are not that political whatever. It's actually pretty neat. They're all going out to lunch. They all go out to dinner.
It helps our
nation heal. It actually does, because we're not as – it's all gaming. It's all sort of it's a facade that they put on when the cameras are on, the mics are hot. It's what they do. When they're not, they go get lunch together. Like when one of them dies, like when John McCain died, right?
Everybody comes together.
Yeah, you learned all sorts of stuff about all the great relationships that they had traveling to other countries and stuff.
You're we heard about RGB and Scalia and how they were such good friends. Yeah, they're on opposite sides. There was a video I posted on my Facebook of Lindsey Graham after Joe Biden's son died, and he was talking to me. He's like, I just don't know how you can't like Joe Biden. And he's going to his funeral, and he's like, I have great respect for Joe. He's just a very likable guy, even though last week I saw him saying Joe Biden is a danger to our nation. It's just what they do. It's all political. It's all a game. It's all a facade.
Yeah, just pay attention. Yeah. Yep. I know. Exactly. So
we need to have it. We need the Republicans, Democrats. Maybe your middle person is like, I don't know, Gary Johnson. Get a libertarian in there. There you go. There now you got two and one, I think, and then you just go from there.
Hey, let's see how this goes for a little bit, right? And then let's bring our world leaders together. Okay. Mm-hmm. Could you
playing Among Us? Wow.
Playing Among Us and having the different leaders from a couple of leaders from Europe, maybe.
Right.
Russians.
Well, okay. Well, let's think about that. I mean, so the Among Us cast, how many people? I think it's five people. Play
I don't
it
know.
Once.
I can look
maybe it's
quick,
seven.
Yeah.
Let's look it up and see how many people it is. The United Nations Among Us group. I would say, you know, Justin Trudeau, obviously from Canada. He's
four
a very,
to ten players.
Four to ten. Well, I think we can come up with ten. So Justin Trudeau, right from Canada. You get him in there. Obviously, Biden. He's president-elect. So you get Biden in there. Yeah. Boris Johnson from England. I mean, Kim Jong. I mean, I don't know if they have internet over there, but I mean, maybe
is he doing okay?
I don't know.
Like, all right,
Putin. Get Putin in there. There's your fifth.
Is he doing okay?
There's rumors he has Parkinson's. He might step down. There, but I don't. Nah, I don't see. But there's five. I'm sure there's more, but I just don't know their names.
Merkel, right? Did you say who's that? Germany? Angela Merkel.
Okay, there's six.
From Germany. Oh, gosh.
Fidel Castro still alive? Or
who's
in charge of Cuba right now?
Wow. Let me see. Who else? Let's see. World leaders.
Anybody that's like that's what you call a superstar that we know their name? I don't know that I know any of their names.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting when you start to think about that? Like, yeah. Just who you know. Ooh,
is Hong?
God,
what about Hong Kong and China? I mean, or is that?
Yeah, President. Is it Xi?
Xi. Yeah.
Yeah. That would be cool. Yeah, get him in there.
Well, Hong
and
Kong
we only
and
need
China
about,
don't really
we're at
get
seven.
Along.
We're at seven. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah,
let's make it happen. It'll help. It'll help the country heal.
Well, first of all, hey, I'll tell you what it would do is if we got 10, at least you and I would learn a few more world leaders.
Okay? That is correct.
We'd be like, oh, that guy. Okay.
I don't even know who's in charge of Mexico, and I'm going to Mexico in a couple months. So I guess I need to brush up on that.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Everyone's like, well, now I'm not voting for Matt because he would be terrible for foreign policy. Well, look, my foreign policy is pretty straightforward. Okay. It's called American policy. It's we the people, not we the world. Okay. I mean, that doesn't mean we shouldn't help out our neighbor and stuff like that, but.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why we went with the prime minister. We should have went with the queen of England, right? I mean, that's who we should have.
Oh, get her in there, too, yeah. How old is she? Yeah.
I don't know. I hope she's doing well. I feel like I've said that for like 3 or 4 different world leaders there.
Yeah.
You know. I don't know. You know, it is interesting, right? I feel like my whole life, she's been the queen.
Seriously, she's been the queen, I think, for most people's lives. Like our generation, the generation before that, the generation before. She might be a robot.
Hey.
At this point. All right, Ez. Well, it's that time of the podcast again. Let's talk some food.
Yeah.
So, guys, it is that holiday season coming up here. For some people, Christmas starts too early. For me, it doesn't start early enough. As far as I'm concerned, you just leave the Christmas lights on all year round, okay? Mm-hmm. You buy one tree, you never have to take it down. You're set up. You're good to go.
Good, yeah.
But one of my favorite holidays of the year is Thanksgiving, mostly because it's the only time that I can pour gravy on all my food and people not question it.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Right. I mean, if you're pouring gravy, you know, on like your pizza in June, people are like, "Whoa, buddy!
What are you doing, man?"
But at Thanksgiving, you can pour it on anything you want, and nobody questions it. It's just part of the thing. It's great. It's an amazing American holiday. So, Ez, what's your Thanksgiving? You know, what's your go to? What's your, you know, some green bean casserole, you know, dinner rolls, yams, sweet potatoes, turkey, you know, what's your go-to? Cranberry sauce.
No way. Oh, I'm not a cranberry sauce guy. No. You know, one time growing up, someone had like a lemon pie or something. And I was a little kid. I was out running, playing football. I was actually in Maryland. It was one of our like, reunion things, and it was around Thanksgiving. We went out there kind of like, you know, a week before or something, just to kind of celebrate with an uncle who was older, and we had some lemon pie that was there, and I ate that pie, and I went outside and played some football, and I yacked it everywhere.
It was bad.
So ever since then, it's weird. Even going like years later, many years later, I still lemon stuff. I'm out. Yeah. Lemon, anything. I am out. I am done for.
I don't feel like lemons are a big part of Thanksgiving.
They're not, though. But somebody always has that lemon cream kind of like pie. It's supposed to be pumpkin, right? It's supposed to be pumpkin.
It is.
I don't know which one of my aunts is always bringing like a lemon pie.
I feel like pecan pie is also kind of a Thanksgiving
thing. Pecan pie is a big one. I like that a lot. I like pecan and pumpkin quite a bit. But I swear to you, and I will take a picture of it this year, and I'll send it to you. There is always some sort of a lemon dish. And I don't know who's bringing it, but like they're always bringing it. And it's a joke. It shows up at every family function. Anyways, well, let me stay here. Foods, though, I love when I can get some. So, gosh, I don't know, man. It's going to sound like cookout food, but like we have everything, man. We have everything. We've got like macaroni salad, potato salad. We've got green bean casserole. We've got like baked mac and cheese. We've got all sorts of stuff. I mean, it's just nuts. Everybody brings a dish. We have a huge family, and so everyone's trying to bring like a variety of stuff. Somebody, one of the aunts, right, makes a nice stuffing. Somebody's good at that. I don't know. Like one year we gave it to one of the cousins and it didn't work out so well, so back to Aunt Sue. Here we go, you know. So stuffing's good. I normally just go with, I get my turkey, my stuffing, I get my mashed potatoes, and the best part, sweet potatoes, you know.
That's your go-to is the sweet potatoes.
Yeah, and that's what when going back for seconds, that's what I'm going for. Like I'm going for those, just because I feel like I get mashed. I feel like I get everything else at various times. Turkey as well, right? Turkey, that's something I'm grabbing. But I know once I fill up that plate, and obviously I'm getting a second. You know, I'm not, I'm not a thin guy. I don't know how to put it. You know, like going back for seconds, and some people are saying maybe thirds, bro. What's going on? But yeah, go back for multiple plates, and I always go back and I get more of the sweet potatoes. I love sweet potatoes. Yeah. Sweet potato casserole is really good too. You ever had that?
Mm-hmm.
With some marshmallows on top.
Yeah, it's not really my thing, but I've had it before.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. So, what else? Corn. I don't really go for the sweets as much, though. This is the thing. I'm not, and I guess maybe it is partly the I'm thinking of, like, again, the lemon pie, the whole thing, the whole smell of whatever is sitting over that table. I avoid it. My dad brings home, like, I won't actually at Thanksgiving eat a piece of pumpkin pie or pecan pie, but in the leftover dish that comes home. So on Black Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, yes, I will. But that day, no, it's all just about the food. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what I'm eating.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Wow. For me, really, when I think about Thanksgiving, you know, our family does the green bean casserole. We do like the Walmart dinner rolls, right? Everybody loads up on those dinner rolls. The turkey, I'm all about the dark meat on the turkey. Load up on dark meat. But really, this is what my plate typically looks like. There are things on my plate: turkey, corn, mashed potatoes. None of that matters. I'm there for one reason and one reason only, and that is to pour gravy over the whole damn thing. I know I already kind of said that.
That's crazy, though.
But it's just
you really do that?
Absolutely, man. I'm there for the gravy. Okay.
I don't think we have gravy at mine. I don't know. We're such a
weird
family.
Then it's not Thanksgiving. How do you not have gravy? That is like the whole.
It's somewhere. I don't know. I think it's there.
Yeah. Then there's two kinds of gravy, right? There's like the lighter yellow, kind of more.
Right.
And then there's I'm there for the dark.
Dark gravy.
Gravy. Yeah, yeah, man, get that hot gravy and you just pour it all over those mashed potatoes and turkey and corn and the rolls and even the sweet potato stuff sometimes is there. Green bean casserole.
Oh, man, my
I'm
God.
I'm kind of out. I'm not super big into that.
Seriously?
But yeah, I'm not super big into that, but oh yeah, man. Pouring that all over, especially the dark meat. Yeah,
I'm fine with pouring the gravy on your turkey, mix it in with some of the stuffing, maybe a little bit, maybe even some of the mashed potatoes.
I mean, it gets on the plate over to the sweet potatoes, and you know, I'm just mad.
If I'm gonna put gravy on, and I actually have, I guard certain things, right? So here's the thing, in my family, I don't know why this is, but like, you would think it's a mixture of 4th of July. And Thanksgiving, because we've got, I mean, macaroni salad, we've got potato salad, all that kind of stuff, and we've got, I mean, sometimes just foods we like. We have, you know, my dad makes a good potato salad, whatever. But I'm telling you, if I'm going to put gravy on something, I'm going to protect it. I'm going to literally build a wall
with mashed potatoes,
just
shield.
Yep, shielding that off, and that rib that you know, it's just I create like a spot, and that gravy cannot get to my. What would like pasta salad, for example?
Yeah.
You don't want your gravy in your pasta salad? It's crazy.
I don't do pasta salad. Pasta salad, potato salad,
you see what I'm
egg salad.
Like those aren't right.
I don't do any of those.
Do people? I guess I kind of wonder. I've only had a couple other Friendsgivings or whatever, and I haven't really been to a lot of other people's Thanksgivings to know what like. Because in my family, it just feels like a freaking cookout.
Yeah,
like people are just bringing stuff. Like I said, somebody's going like. You've got lemon pie there. You've got all these different types of salads. You've got, it's nuts. I mean, everyone brings something and everything is different. There's no one thing that's the same. So there's so much that you're like, it's just a lot of food. It's not really even, I don't know that it has any, there are no brats and steak. Okay. All right.
We've definitely done prime rib. I've definitely been to some Thanksgiving. Yeah, I don't know if that's a West Coast thing or just like my girlfriend's family's thing, but yeah, prime rib on Thanksgiving definitely happens out here.
Wow. Yeah. That just seems un-American to me. I'm sorry.
I mean, it's prime rib, so I'm not going to say no. And I'm like, I don't really know. And now, traditionally, I mean, the original Thanksgiving was like deer. I mean, deer and like oysters.
Right.
So all that other stuff came a lot later, but.
Right. Lots of corn. Yeah, lots of corn.
And then, you know, then it shifts over into leftover mode. And then some things work better as leftovers and some things do not. White turkey meat, man, it gets real dry real fast. Fast.
Yeah, I think you said you like to wash your turkey down with a nice glass of red wine,
Real dry. Real dry. Mashed potatoes, they've maybe got one day. I think you're really lucky with 6 hours.
Really?
Well, you know, Matt, once your mashed potatoes hit the fridge, it's like, you know, it's just not the same. Heating them up, it gets a little harder.
But you got to put some butter in. You got to get some. I know what you're saying. They do get harder.
Yeah. So some of these things have different shelf lives of Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I get that. I actually think stuffing tastes better cold.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I actually like it cold.
I'm with you.
Because I would pull that out when I'm warming up like other dishes. I'm like, stuffing, you didn't make it on the plate to go in the microwave. No worries.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll still consume you. So yeah, no. And like I said, desserts for me are the big like.
It's pumpkin pie.
That's it. That's my after. I don't eat those during Thanksgiving. I mean, I might have a cookie or something to wash down the turkey. Why not?
Just pumpkin pie.
I'm a true American.
Costco pumpkin pie is freaking delicious. I mean, if you want to make a pumpkin pie, it doesn't matter to me, but yeah.
How do you make a pecan pie? Have you seen those things?
I've made them, yeah. I've made one before. It's just pecans and high fructose corn syrup pretty much. I mean, that's like the whole thing.
Really? That's what you just mix them all together and just kind of.
Well, you get the pie crust. You pretty much just pour in sugar and high fructose corn syrup, and then you just put pecans on top of it. I mean, that's pretty much it.
It seems like magic to me, and it's delicious. Yeah, it's magic. It's straight magic. Yeah. I'm trying to think, you ever had? I know it's not. I don't know. Ours is obviously store bought, but like the pumpkin roll. With like the cream in it
are so freaking good.
Those are so good. Now that stuff starts popping up on the shelf around Halloween time and right on into Thanksgiving. So I've already
seen Christmas a few of those stuff out there too.
Yeah, exactly.
So now let's shift gears here. As when do you put the Christmas tree up? See, we were a family growing up. It was the day after Black Friday, the day after after Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
but then I feel like because Black Friday turned into the day that everybody went shopping, this year's probably going to be different, obviously. That ended up being before Thanksgiving that we would put the Christmas tree up.
Yeah, so we never had like a real set tradition. I'll tell you this right now. My sister put hers up today. So it just works out, work schedule, whatever. Kids aren't there, so you can put it up and boom, there you go. I got my Christmas lights. I just brought them over here. I'm ready to put those up probably later this week. As we go a week before Thanksgiving, I'm going to put those up. But yeah, I like to have them up for at least a month. You know, I like to have something up for at least a month.
Yeah.
So I think that's fine. I saw this whole past week, it was good weather here in Ohio. The weekend's been a little crazy, but this previous week I saw everyone in our hometown putting stuff up, and it was cool. Everyone's out there, and I drive down and see all the lights, and it feels good. I think we need it earlier this year than later. All right. I think we need it much earlier. We need that Christmas spirit soon.
Yes. Yep. We don't have our tree up yet because we're going to go get a real tree. That's apparently the thing you do out here. I'm kind of against it, to be honest. So I know some people, it's not a real Christmas unless there's a real tree. Okay. Well,
that is so crazy.
I know. It's a thing people say. And people are like, well, does it, you know, then you get into the argument of people are like, well, you know, if you don't have a real Christmas tree, it just doesn't really embody Christmas. And I was like, well, as growing up as I grew up, the real meaning of Christmas is not, you know, it's something else. All right. Where's a little more nativity scene stuff than Santa stuff. OK, but, you know, hey,
that's right.
To each their own. Right. Some people don't even celebrate Christmas. And that's great. You want to celebrate Hanukkah?
Yeah.
Go for it. You want to celebrate nothing? Absolutely. Don't celebrate nothing, you know, but right.
It's a lot less stressful. It's just it has to do deal with.
We had a fake tree growing up, and I thought it worked fine. You pull it out of a box, you shove it back in a box. It's pretty easy.
I mean, isn't it a little bit more environmentally, you know?
Well, I don't know, because Christmas trees, they grow. Yeah, out here, trust me, I tried to make the argument, and I'm in Portland where everyone's like as environmentally friendly as you could possibly be, and they all make the argument that, well, those trees are grown to be Christmas trees, and you can grow Christmas, they don't take that long to grow, and it's this whole, I don't know, they replant them, it's a whole big thing, I don't know, so.
Yeah,
I'm making it up, but I could be entirely wrong. I don't know. I don't know, and I'm willing to say that I don't know. But for me,
trees have feelings too.
For me as a consumer, hey, I buy one plastic tree and I have it for life. So there you go. I don't have to bring it in. I don't have to deal with it. You know, water it. How do we get rid of it? You know, the dog knocks it over, and then there's sap everywhere. And
right. Yeah, you know, I don't know, like anything that kind of brings positivity into the world, I'm cool with it. You know, as long as the positive outweighs the negative, I think it's great. What regardless of the holiday or whatever it is, we have Spirit Day at the end of every week at work. You know, and it's like, yeah, you have to buy an extra T-shirt and you have to do whatever, but it's cool, it's fun. Yeah. There's a good spirit, it's a good vibe, and you know, I'm all for it. I hope, like I said, I think we need more positive things in this year. I've never seen a year where I thought we needed more positivity, right. And more, you know,
is Santa gonna wear a mask when he, I mean, how much social distancing is that guy doing? He's going from house to house.
Oh, gee. Somebody, I haven't even thought of that.
Has anybody talked to
get a hold of the World Health Organization. Somebody talk to Santa Claus. Absolutely, I'm sure he's wearing a mask. I'm sure that he is. Actually.
I mean, that dude's going from house to house. I trust him to wear a mask, but there's a lot of other people that aren't doing it. I mean, how do we know that? I mean, then he's eating cookies off everyone's table. I mean,
wow. Are you saying we need to cancel Christmas?
I'm not saying we need to cancel Christmas. I'm just saying I think, you know, I just hope Santa's, you know, wearing proper PPE.
How dare you question Santa Claus?
How
dare you?
You know, is he? I mean, I'm just asking questions.
I know you're at. Yeah, he is. I'll tell you right now, he is. And I will. My niece actually plans on stay. She told us. She said she wants to sleep downstairs this year.
Uh oh.
And she wants to sleep because she would like to say thank you to Santa.
That's nice. Okay. Yeah.
That was very nice. And I was like, but you know. Look, I mean, he wants you to sleep. He wants you to get a full night's sleep. Like, you can leave him a note. So we're writing our letters. We're going to write a note to Santa saying thank you. But, yeah, I mean, she would be able. So if she gets a chance to, if she does meet him, I'll ask her. I'll ask her if he was wearing a mask or not.
Yeah, okay, that'll be.
Or maybe I'll, you know, yeah, just ask my dad whether he wore a mask when he went in there. What?
Why would she ask your dad? I did have one awkward moment with that, in which my niece was like complaining about my brother, and she was, you know, she's like five. She was like, he never gets me anything. He never does this, even though he buys her toys all the time, whatever. I was like, well, what about this toy? She's like, I was like, he bought you that. And she was like, yeah, but I was like, well, what about this toy? She's like, no, that was Santa. And I was like, well, okay. Like, you know what I mean?
Fine.
Like, she was just complaining, you know, he never buys me toys. Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, yeah. So it's because Santa gets her a lot of those toys. So,
yeah.
Woo! All right, guys. Hey, thanks for listening. For anybody who did actually, you know, who likes this podcast and listens to Ez and I rant and rave about anything and everything, it's just what we do.
Right.
We appreciate it. So, guys, hey, that's it for the show today. If you liked it, you give us a review on iTunes. We do have a YouTube channel. Haven't really posted a lot of content on there yet. A lot more that will be coming later. For most of you, I think, know us from a lot of our various other projects, which is we do a Game of Thrones podcast called Bend the Knee. We do a Star Wars podcast. We're talking about The Mandalorian. It's called Hyperspace Hangout. We do a Wheel of Time podcast called Heroes of the Horn. I do a video game podcast called Box Trick. And Ez does a Lord of the Rings podcast with our good buddy Lane called Up Talkin' Tolkien, an unexpected podcast But if you guys want to shoot us a transmit or you guys want to shoot us an email, you can do so at themattandezshow@gmail.com. We've actually had some people, reach out to us and say they want to come on. So we'll be reaching out to you guys soon and trying to get something going. And we've had one guy who's like directed a movie, kind of like an independent movie, reached out to us, said, I'd love to come on. So, hey, we will make it happen. Had some other people message us from other podcasts. Guys, we're just here to talk about whatever. It's chill.
Yeah.
We're just hanging out. We appreciate it. Yep. So, guys, that's it for today. And this is Matt Nez signing off.